issues with folks. We have a lot of people even that are sick today. Also, Cindy reminded me, Denise is sick this morning, and so Dale had to stay home and take care of her and the baby. So just keep them in prayer also. A lot of folks are sick and a lot of stuff going on with people, but I'm glad that you're able to be here with us this morning. Amen. Gather together and worship the Lord together. And thank you for being here. We've been talking about in this study that God can rewrite our story. Now, before we begin our lesson, I want to remind you that immediately after services, we are still having our fellowship meal this morning. So keep that in mind. We're going to be celebrating our birthdays for the month of November and December. So if you don't have a birthday during November or December, then we'll celebrate your happy unbirthday. But it's just an opportunity for us to get together in fellowship and to share some food. I hope that you will stay afterwards and join us in that. Even if you didn't bring anything, Cindy made a whole bunch of Brunswick stew. So if you didn't bring anything, don't worry about it. Come in and fellowship with us and share a meal. Now, I mentioned earlier, but for those who came in late, our Bible study this evening over at Chuck's house, we've canceled that, so keep that in mind. We're not going to be doing that this month. You don't want to be driving on Snake Road when there's possibly ice out there, so that's a matter of safety over there, so keep that in mind. Now, we've been in this study talking about the fact that all of us have a past, okay? We've all been somewhere, and every single one of us in our past, we have some of these three, the good, the bad, and the ugly, okay? Now, one of the things that we've mentioned about this, good, bad, and the ugly, is that some of that good and some of the bad and some of the ugly are things that we have caused or brought on ourselves, we've done ourselves, and some of that is things that others have done to us, or we've face those things, either good or bad or ugly, as a result of what others have done. I know for a fact that all the good things that happened to me in life have not been because I've done it. Okay? It's because of what others have done and blessed my life. God's blessed my life through them. So those things come either from us or from others. We can all experience some of both. But that is our past. Okay? And one of the things we've been trying to drive home about this is you cannot change your past. It cannot be undone, okay? It is your past, and you need to be able to leave it back there. That past, your good, bad, and ugly, is your story up to this point right now today. That is the story of you, right? Now, another thing we've been talking about throughout this study is the fact that, especially when it pertains to the bad stuff and the ugly stuff, that there are things we have to learn to do different. Because if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always gotten. The results are going to be exactly the same. So keep on doing the same things, you're going to keep getting the same results. That's basically what it says. If you don't do anything different, then your past will be your future. That's the idea here. Right? When we look at the bad things that have gone on in our lives, the bad things we've done, the bad things that have been done to us, and the ugly stuff, we want to change those things. Right? But that means in order for that to happen, we've got to do some different things in our lives, or we're going to get the same results. God does not want us to live in the past. Alright? He wants us to live in the future, so what we've got to do is to let God change our story. In other words, if you don't change anything about what's been going on in your life, then the end of your story will be the same as what it has been up until now. What we're talking about is allowing God to change our story from where we are and take us and rewrite our story so that the outcome is a much, much better one than what it otherwise would be. We'll talk more about that towards the end of our lesson this morning. We're going to be talking about this morning what I'm calling left behind. Okay? Left behind. We begin in John chapter 4 in the story of the woman of Samaria at the well. And what we know about this story is that Jesus is traveling through the region of Samaria, and he stops at this well. His disciples go into the town to buy some food, And Jesus is there, and a woman comes up. John tells us, by the way, that when Jesus stops there, it is about the noon hour. It's the middle of the day, the hottest time of the day, most likely. And the thing that's so significant about that is the whole issue as to why this woman is there at the well at that time of the day to begin with. And it's an issue that, you see, usually the women of a village would go to the well together, or either early in the morning, and they'd get the water that they need for the whole day, or they would go late in the evening, and they'd get the water that they need for that night and for even the next day. But they would usually go together. It was a kind of a woman village thing, that they would all gather together and go to the well together. But notice that this woman is there in the middle of the day, and she goes alone. Why is that? Well, it's because she was an outcast. This woman, as we would say today, came from the wrong side of the tracks. Okay? In other words, she was not socially acceptable to the rest of the women in the village because of her lifestyle, because of what had been going on, because of her past. What was her past? Well, she had a bad marriage, and that marriage fell apart. But not just one, but five of them. She had been married and divorced five different times, and I guess somewhere along the line in all of that, she just kind of gave up on marriage because the man that she was with at that time, she wasn't even married to. And so she did not fit into the polite society of the village women and all of the folks there. And so she was an outcast, and that's likely why she was there at the well at that time of the day by herself. Jesus begins a conversation with this woman with a very simple request for a drink of water. Now, just kind of let that sink in for a moment, okay? I just think it's interesting how sometimes very simple conversations can lead to life-changing moments and events in people's lives. In that conversation, Jesus says to the woman, "Will you give me something to drink?" And the woman objects to his request even. How is it that you, a Jew, can ask me, a Samaritan woman, for something to drink? And Jesus responds to her this way. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now understand, this whole issue of water is very important to this woman because that's why she was there to begin with, right? She went to the well to get water for her needs. And here this Jewish man asked her to give him something to drink, and then he starts talking something really strange about living water, and what are you talking about? And she responds to this man, "Where will you get this living water?" She says, "The well is very deep and you don't have anything to draw water with." It's kind of almost like she might have been standing holding on to the bucket for the well, right? "Where are you going to get this water from? Because I got the bucket." And by the way, do you think you're greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and who drank from it himself, as did his family and his sons and his flocks and his herds? Are you greater than him? Jesus then responds to her this way. "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Wow. That's a pretty bold claim from someone who doesn't even have anything to draw water with. what Jesus is saying here is you keep drinking this water. In other words, your focus is all on this physical water, and you're going to keep being thirsty. But if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. Now, obviously, Jesus is not talking about physical water. He's talking about spiritual water. But the woman really hasn't grasped that yet. Living water? I like the sound of living water, don't you? And so if you give me some of this living water, then first of all, I won't get thirsty anymore based on what you're telling me. So I like the idea of this living water. And not only will I never get thirsty again, but I won't have to keep coming back here to this well and keep getting water by myself in the middle of the day because no one else will come with me. I like the sound of living water. Have you noticed perhaps Jesus trying to start a conversation with you in your life about something, maybe even as simple as a glass of water? Just like he did with this woman. Sometimes the conversations that Jesus wants to have with us are very common things, and they're very innocent things, and if we're not careful, we might miss Jesus talking to us. Then we have to face the facts, because facts is facts, right? And the facts of who we are and where we've been, and the facts of the good, the bad, and the ugly, and all of those things cannot be changed. That is our story. Those are the facts. So let's talk about facts as facts. And what we see with Jesus and this woman is the conversation moving from water to relationship. And after all, isn't that what's really important in life is relationships? More than anything else that we deal with, it's really all about the relationships. And if we ever lose sight of that, see, then we're really in trouble. And I'm afraid the problem with too many people in the world today is that they have completely lost sight of the importance of the relationships. And they're too busy chasing after so many other things. But Jesus wants this conversation to move from the whole issue of physical water and being thirsty to talking about relationships. And so he says to the woman, "Go call your husband." And she says, "Sir, I don't have a husband." And Jesus responds to her by saying, "You're right. The fact is," there it is, the fact. "The good, the bad, and the ugly of your life is that you've had five husbands. The man that you are now with is not your husband." Now, I don't think that Jesus brought up that part of her life just to kind of, you know, rub her face in the dirt about all the bad and ugly stuff that's going on in her life. I don't think that was his purpose. She got enough of that from her five previous husbands and probably the man she was living with at the time and her neighbors who wouldn't have anything to do with her. She got her nose rubbed in plenty of dirt. That's not what Jesus was doing. He wanted her to face the facts of her story. Because then you can begin to have hope for a different future. Then you could begin to rewrite her story. But she had to face the facts. But she didn't want to. Okay? Instead of answering Jesus in a different way, she goes immediately to want to talk about worship. She says to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And she brings up the whole issue about worship. You do say we're supposed to worship at Jerusalem in the temple, and we say we're supposed to worship on this mountain. What's the right place? And she wants to go to this issue about worship. I think perhaps trying to avoid having to face the facts of her life. This is a touchy subject with her. So let's avoid the bad and the ugly stuff, and let's talk about worship. You're a religious guy. Let's talk about worship. Because I don't want to have to face the facts of my life. I believe this statement to be true. In order to fully embrace your future, you must be willing to let go of your past. As long as the past is hanging around your neck, you're never really going to be able to enjoy the future that God has in store for you. Let me ask you this question just to think about. What are the facts of your story? What are the facts? Don't try to change the conversation. Don't try to push them underneath the rug or the couch or wherever you've been trying to stuff them in your life. Face the facts of your story. Because that is who you are. But whatever those facts say, and especially the bad and the ugly parts, doesn't have to remain who you will be. But you've got to be willing to face those so that you can overcome them. Finally, let's talk about leaving things behind. And we know that the woman came there to get water, right? That was her purpose in being at the well. She did not go there, in other words, so that she could meet Jesus and have a conversation with him about her life. She went there to draw water. Very simple thing, wasn't it? But water was no longer her first priority. John tells us, makes this very simple statement, leaving her water jar behind. When you read that story, don't miss that. Because I think that's one of the most important statements in the whole story. Leaving her water jar behind. She went back to the village. And she told the people there about her encounter with Jesus. She went back to share, as I have on here, her newfound hope. She went back to the village and she shared it with those who wouldn't go to the well with her. Those who treated her most likely like she was not just a Samaritan, although they were too, but that she was worse than she was a dog as far as they were concerned. Somebody they would not have given the time of day to, and certainly would not go to the well with her to draw water. And yet those are the very people that she went back to the village to proclaim this new hope that she had. Notice what she does. She went back there and proclaimed Jesus to the people in the village. And here's what she said. "Come see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" Yeah. The one that she had been waiting for all of her life. Could this be the Messiah? You see, here's the important thing. Jesus can rewrite your story no matter what has gone on in the past. All the good, all the bad, and the ugly, as we've been talking about, that's the past. But what is the future going to be for you? What is the end of the story, in other words, going to say about you? Well, Jesus can rewrite your story. Remember, we've been talking about all along that right now your story is in draft mode. It is still being written, in other words. And God can rewrite it anytime that you want Him to. He will not write it against your will. Here's the really great part. He has a better story for you than you do. Okay? He's got a better story for you than you can ever write for yourself. You just let Him write your story. What do you need to leave behind? What in your life has been the priority? In other words, the thing that maybe takes you to the well on a regular basis, but yet you need to leave it behind so that God can rewrite your story the way He wants to write. What do you need to leave behind? Like this woman left her water jar. What do you need to leave? Tom's chosen a song for us to sing as an invitation song, and the invitation is open to everyone. I'm sorry you just walked all the way up here to the front. I'm going to ask you to go back to the back again. Jared will be in the back. If there's anybody that would like to have a private prayer or a conversation with him, he'll meet you back there. Anyone that would like to come up front and ask for prayers for whatever is going on in your life, whatever you might need, that we can help you with. And if there's someone here that is not yet a Christian, you're ready to give your life to Christ, you can do that right now. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. We've got water right behind me here, right, Chuck? It's not cold. I mean, it is cold.
But we've got other water.
But we've got other water. Okay, we'll make it happen. Okay, we'll make it happen. The point is that we want you to allow God to rewrite your story. Whatever parts need to be rewritten. We offer this opportunity for you to have that happen. Always stand together and sing. Let's stand.